This year's been a roller coaster, and not the fun kind. Business, no. It's a dangerous time not to know your numbers. That's why you need NetSuite by Oracle. Over 31,000 businesses have the confidence they need. NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing offer. Head to netsuite.com/minute.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, November 3rd. I'm Julie Chang for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for Zoe Thomas. Europe has expanded its cybersecurity rules around airline flight safety. And for the first time, the requirements will cover a range of companies in the aviation supply chain, from manufacturers to flight training schools and caterers. What are these new rules and what do they mean for the flight industry? WSJ Pro cybersecurity reporter Catherine Stupp will be here to break it down for us. That's after these headlines. In earnings, chipmaker Qualcomm slashed its forecast for smartphone shipments again. The designer of mobile phone chips had said in an earlier forecast that it would see a mid-single-digit decline. Now it expects a low double-digit percentage drop. The gloomier sales outlook joins other chipmakers confronting a sharp turn in consumer demand after a pandemic-fueled boom. On Wednesday, Qualcomm said it projected up to $10 billion of sales for the current quarter, about $2 billion short of Wall Street estimates. Paramount, the company behind blockbuster movie Top Gun Maverick, reported a decline in profit in the last quarter, down to $231 million from $538 million in the same quarter a year ago. But it posted higher revenue as it added about 4.6 million subscribers to its Paramount Plus streaming service. The company's traditional TV offerings had a 5% decline in revenue after increases in spending on political advertising failed to offset a decline in views and the impact of foreign currency fluctuations. It told investors to expect similar declines in the fourth quarter amid an overall pullback in advertising. The stock fell 12% Wednesday. Paramount said it ended the quarter with 46 million streaming subscribers, which was about 750,000 short of analysts' expectations, but it has still been beating out its competitors on signups year to date. Elon Musk says Twitter users who were blocked from the platform for violating its policies won't be allowed back on until the company has a clear process in place. In a couple of tweets Wednesday, the social media company's new owner said the process would take at least a few weeks and that he had spoken with some civil society leaders. The comments come as Musk, who is a self-described free speech absolutist, works to address concerns that Twitter's content moderation will be looser under his ownership. Earlier this week, two advertising companies recommended their clients to temporarily hold off on advertising on Twitter due to concerns around content moderation on the platform. That's according to people familiar with the situation. Meanwhile, a small but growing number of celebrities and public figures say they're quitting Twitter. They include R&B artist Toni Braxton, showrunner and producer Shonda Rhimes, and author Stephen King. Representatives for Musk didn't return requests for comment. And Netflix has begun rolling out an ad-supported version of its service. The launch comes as the streaming giant is still in the process of negotiating licensing agreements with major studios, including Disney, NBCU, and Sony. It has secured some big-name advertisers, however. The new Netflix plan will cost just under $7 a month in the U.S. and will include 4 to 5 minutes of ads per hour of content. Coming up, Europe has expanded its cybersecurity rules around airline flight safety. How concerned should you be? As of right now, not so much. We'll tell you why after the break.
From inflation to rising interest rates, it's been hard navigating the markets this year. Amid this volatility, one constant is the challenge of finding the right income strategy. At Global X ETFs, our products look beyond traditional fixed income, offering solutions for investors seeking to increase or diversify the yield potential of their portfolio. Visit globalxetfs.com/income to learn more.
As concerns about hacking or other cybercrime continue to grow, Europe has put in place new cybersecurity rules for its aviation industry. And it's not just airlines that are being tasked with complying with them, but all those up and down the supply chain, from plane manufacturers to weather data providers and even caterers. Here to tell us more about these new requirements and how companies are responding to them is WSJ Pro Cybersecurity Reporter Catherine Stepp. Catherine, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So Catherine, tell us some more about these new aviation cybersecurity rules. What exactly are they? Who would be affected by them?
So these are new cybersecurity rules applying in the European Union from the European Aviation Regulator. They apply to the aviation sector, and what's kind of unique about them, they're pretty broad in that they don't just apply to big airlines and airports. They apply really across the supply chain to a lot of smaller companies. So that includes like flight training schools, aerodromes, but also these small companies that provide services related to things like air cargo or flight data. And they basically require companies to start using software to track and identify cyber threats that could pose a risk to flight safety, and then to implement some kind of security measures that actually prevent or protect against those threats. And that comes with other kinds of governance requirements, so that companies really need to appoint somebody internally who will oversee their compliance with these regulations, who interact with the regulators, and things like that.
And do we know why these rules were put in place?
So actually, these rules have been in the works for a number of years. It's not really because of a recent uptick or anything that happened this year related to cyber attacks. But the people I spoke to, including at the European Aviation Regulator, said that what they wanted to prevent here is any kind of major cyber attack.
So, you know, we hear cyber attacks, we hear flights. Obviously, it worries people. How concerned should the flying public be about potential hacking in the aviation industry? I mean, is there a danger to safety?
There haven't been major cyber attacks affecting flight safety so far. It is a nightmare scenario that people think about. And when we read headlines or hear about cyber attacks affecting an airline, for instance, that always gets people's attention. It gets people afraid. Often these cyber attacks are superficial or really low-level attacks that affect something like a website. So last month, there were cyber attacks on a number of U.S. airports' websites that actually took them down temporarily. And that was in the news about these cyber attacks affecting airports. But it really, those attacks didn't have any effects beyond just taking down the websites in some cases for a number of hours. It was, however, something that I think got a lot of people's attention.
You said that these new rules have been in the works for a while, but were there other cybersecurity rules that had already existed in this space?
Yes. So in Europe, there are cybersecurity requirements for critical infrastructure providers, and that includes a lot of airlines, airports, and the requirements include reporting cyber attacks to national regulators and implementing some basic cybersecurity protections. But these new rules affect a broader range of companies in the supply chain that previously didn't fall under that category of critical infrastructure providers. So that's in Europe. And in the US, the Transport Security Administration recently said they're going to introduce some new cybersecurity rules for the aviation sector. And they already do have some for airports and airlines.
And when do the new rules go into effect?
They'll have to start complying by 2025.
Okay, so they have some time. You've been speaking with people in the aviation industry. What has their response been so far?
This has definitely gotten people's attention in the aviation industry, and they are all saying we need to start working on complying with this really soon, not just wait until 2025, because it could be a lot of work for us. It isn't something that's getting a huge amount of attention outside of the aviation industry. It maybe is seen as more of a niche technical thing, but people who work on cybersecurity in aviation are definitely working on this and well aware of what they have to do.
Have the companies mentioned any potential challenges they might come across?
One of the challenges is companies will need to set up a whole cyber risk management system. That could mean, you know, buying new software, training staff on how to use it, and hiring people to actually oversee their program, make sure they're doing things right. Companies in lots of different sectors, so not just aviation, are really struggling to find cybersecurity staff right now. There's just a huge labor gap in cybersecurity. And the people I talked to said, especially in something really specialized like aviation, finding people who understand cybersecurity in a technical area like aviation could be especially difficult. So for bigger companies, this could be, you know, business as usual. They have maybe big cybersecurity teams, but for smaller companies in particular, it could be really hard to find the right people and also to offer them salaries to lure them away from wherever they work currently.
And with the shortage of cybersecurity workers and aviation being a very specialized field, as you mentioned, do we have a sense for how much all of this will cost and if those costs would trickle down to customers or airlines, bottom lines?
The cost likely won't be very significant for bigger companies, but small ones will have to think about whether they need to hire new staff, do staff training, buy software to help them manage cyber risks. This new law, it doesn't require companies go out and buy really fancy, specific new equipment that's going to be very expensive. So it's likely not going to be huge, but especially for some of the small companies, this could be significant for them.
All right, that is WSJ Pro cybersecurity reporter Catherine Stupp. Catherine, thank you again for being here.
Thank you.
And that is it for today's Tech News Briefing. As always, you can find more tech stories on our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please give us a 5-star rating and review wherever you get your podcasts. It really does help. I'm Julie Chang for The Wall Street Journal. Thank you for listening.
Discover the extraordinary ideas shaping our future at the Future of Everything Festival when The Wall Street Journal brings together leaders from business, science, sports, and culture, May 2nd through 4th at Spring Studios in New York City. Register today for a 3-day premium pass and get your second one free. This offer ends on November 18th. Visit wsj.com/FOEF podcast to secure your spot.